Thank you, Brother Alec Morrison, for that hymn. This is your friend John Walden from Colorado Springs. We continue our studies in the lives of the kings. I want to talk to you a little bit about Ahab. Ahab was one of the most wicked kings who ever lived. He was king over the northern division in what is now Israel, the land of Palestine, and over the section of God's people called Israel, in contrast to Judah. Now, the kings of the southern kingdom of Judah were all descendants of David. But this man, Ahab, had no nobility. His father had been a fighter, captain of the host, according to 1 Kings 16:16. His name was Omri. And he was said to be worse than all the kings before him, but he didn't hold the championship very long. Ahab, the man we're studying just now, was even worse than his father. Now, Ahab lived in the days of Asa and Jehoshaphat, kings in the southern kingdom of Judah. They were both good kings. They were men who led the people of God in revival. But Ahab was unaffected by this. And he certainly is a good picture of a sinner with no real nobility, no rights, having many opportunities, but choosing to do evil. We read in 1 Kings 16 and 30 that he did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it says in verse 33 that he did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that went before him. There you have his history. He decided that he was going to walk after the sins of Jeroboam. Now, Jeroboam, the first king of Israel after it was divided, after the kingdom was divided, was a very wicked man who brought in idolatry. And God often warned the people that they were not to follow in the sins of Jeroboam. But this man had complete disregard for God and for God's word. He married Jezebel, a Zidonian, and if you look in the 34th of Exodus in verse 16, you'll see that marriages with the heathen nations about them were absolutely forbidden. Incidentally, young people, God still forbids the marriage of a believer with an unbeliever. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, read it for yourself. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. No good ever comes of it. Someone said that if you marry one of the devil's children, you'll have plenty of trouble with your father-in-law. Now this man followed his wicked wife Jezebel, and it says he went and served Baal. He reared up altars. He built groves. Those were places for the wicked worship of the idols. He's a man who went all out for the devil. He was a man who decided that he would live his life the way he pleased. He was not going to be inhibited by the word of God nor by the prophets whom God sent to him. But God doesn't give a man up easily. God loved even this wicked sinner. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The love of God for sinners is a most wonderful thing. We'll never understand it fully. Well, God sent Elijah to this wicked king Ahab. According to the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 13 to 17, God had threatened the people that if they went on their own way, disobeyed him, the time would come when he would withhold rain. He would cause a drought in the land. And Elijah saw that this time had come, and so he pronounced this curse on the land. Now, instead of Ahab being affected by this, Ahab tried to find Elijah in order to put him to death. Of course, God protected his prophet. Finally, in 1 Kings 18 and verse 18, Elijah meets this wicked king, and he says to him, "You are the man who troubles the people of God." And Ahab was such a coward that he didn't make any attempt to arrest the man. He knew it was true, undoubtedly convicted of his own conscience. Then you remember the story of how Elijah called the people up on the mount to give them a test? Let's find out, he said. If Baal is the true God, let's follow him. If the Lord, Jehovah, is the true God, let's follow him. And the test, of course, resulted in the priests of Baal being embarrassed and the fire coming down from heaven and consuming the sacrifice, which, of course, is always a picture of Calvary. God always puts his stamp of approval upon the sacrificial work of Christ, either in type in the Old Testament or in the New Testament when he's actually talking about it. God was glorified and honored by the suffering of the Savior, and he is able to save us and to bless us for the sake of that one who acceptably offered himself to God. Well, after the sacrifice, Elijah caused the priests of Baal to be caught and slaughtered, and then he went back to the city, but Ahab, realizing that God had spoken and that God was the true God, was so weak and so afraid of his wife Jezebel that we read in chapter 19, the first two verses, that he went back and told these things to Jezebel, his wife, and she swore that she was going to avenge herself and kill Elijah, and poor Ahab just went along. Ahab's persistence in sin made him a coward. It's strange, but so many young people seem to think that going out and doing what they want to do is a sign of strength and maturity. It isn't. It's a sign of weakness. You're being taken captive by the devil at his will. The Lord help you to recover yourself out of the snare of the devil by turning to the Savior before it's too late. Now, not only was he afraid of Jezebel in chapter 19 of 1 Kings, but in the 20th chapter, he showed how afraid he was of Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. And when the king of Syria told him that he would have to give up his silver and his gold and his wives and his children, he said, "My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have." He was just a weak coward. But worse than that, we're told that he did sell himself to work wickedness. Now, what did he sell himself for? I'm always interested in a bargain. What did he get out of this? Well, he got a great deal of grandeur because this man became famous for his architecture. He built a house entirely out of ivory. Must have been a wonderful place. He got quite a name as an architect and a builder. And then he got quite a few possessions. He was a very covetous man. And, of course, people who haven't anything for the next world are doing their best to get all they can for this world. He even wanted the vineyard that belonged to a man named Naboth, and Naboth knew that he did not dare to sell his vineyard. This was forbidden back in the Old Testament, back in the laws of Moses. But anyway, he said, "I'm going to get it," and his wife came in and said, "Are you king or are you not king? If you want it, send word over there and have him put to death." So he did. He killed a man in order to get his vineyard, in order to build a kind of a park there by his palace. He sold himself to work wickedness. What did he get out of it? A few little possessions here on this earth. Judas sold the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, about $16 and a half. You think these are bad bargains? Let me ask you, what are you getting out of it? You haven't received the Lord Jesus, and if you haven't received him, what are you getting out of life? What will you have to show for it when life is over? Well, I'm happy to tell you that when the message came to Ahab of how he had behaved, and he realized it almost too late, There was a temporary humbling. Now, I can't say that Ahab ever really came to know the Lord, because later on, in the 22nd chapter, in verse 27, he rejected Micaiah's prophecy, one of the prophets of the Lord, and he certainly died the way he lived. So I can't tell you that the man ever became a true believer or ever really trusted Christ. Maybe it's just as well that way, because I may be talking to someone who wants to spend his life to please himself and then hopes at the last that he might turn to God. The best thing that you can do is to turn to the Lord now. Don't put it off another minute. Or if you are a believer, a real Christian, but you have not bowed to the Lordship of Christ, and you've been wanting your own way, you've been having your own way, you've been selling yourself for nothing, you've been trying to gain your own life, and the Lord says that's the surest way to lose it. Let me warn you that the end of a life like that is an end of sadness, of regret, of looking back over a wasted life. How much better to turn to the Lord, to acknowledge His kindness. Another sidelight, I'm sorry to tell you that although the king of Judah was a good man, his association with this wicked king Ahab did not result in leading Ahab to the Lord, for he was away from God himself. Christians, when we get out of touch with the Lord, we're no good to our fellow men. We're no help to the unsaved about us. We only mislead them and lead them deeper into sin. Let's keep close to God ourselves. Let's keep right in our own spirits so that we can lead others to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it says about the death of Ahab that when he was wounded in his chariot, that he held himself up, and about the going down of the sun, he died. Oh, I hope you're not trying to hold yourself up. I hope you'll trust the Lord Jesus. Our blessed Lord, we thank Thee that Thou hast loved us and died for us. We thank Thee that salvation is a free gift. We pray Thy blessing on Thy word in the name above every name. Amen.